Zeus Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Welcome to the Mizzou Sports Podcast. I'm Daniel Jones. With me is Cameron Teague Robinson. We're kind of in the slow, warm months of the year when there aren't a lot of college sports going on right now. There are a few of note for Mizzou fans. The baseball team and the softball team are both in action, even though pretty much everything else has died down for the spring. I've been gone for the last 4 days. Cameron Teague Robinson has been basically covering everything for the trip for the last few days. How has that been, being the main point of contact for the sports
I'm sport? Glad you're back.
Me too.
Say like that. No.
Also, I'm about to go on vacation again in 2 days. Yep. So I hope this last couple days was a nice little warm up.
Well, when you guys left, you went on vacation in like December, didn't you? Both you and Matt were gone for this at the same time, and I was the only one here. It was before the bowl game, so there wasn't much football stuff going on. It was like right before Heupel left, because I remember going to practice after Heupel left and talking to guys. Doing that as well by myself, if I can do that for like a week, I feel like I'll be okay for 2 weeks or like a week and a half during the summer when there's nothing going on. But still, it's better to have somebody here.
You did see a lot of baseball.
I did see a lot of baseball
last weekend.
A lot of baseball.
It was a very important weekend for Mizzou.
Yep.
Which needed to win the series to go to the SEC tournament.
So going in, they had to win 2 of 3, and then there still was like some way that they could have been kept out just going into Thursday. But once they got, what was it? It wasn't even halfway. It was like a quarter of the way through a 12-inning baseball game Thursday that went until like 10:30. It became pretty obvious that like whoever won the series between Missouri and Tennessee was going to take the 12th spot, the 12th seed in the SEC tournament. And then Mizzou wins the first game, Tennessee wins the second, and then Mizzou wins the winner-take-all game on Saturday, which was pretty, like, it's pretty crazy. Like, when you go into a series like that, you're like, what's kind of the coolest storyline you could get? Like, it'd be cool, like, for Mizzou's sake, like, stress level if they just won the first two. But if you're looking for something interesting to talk about the whole weekend, it's pretty cool when you can have the team split and come down to pretty much a game seven on the final game of the regular season. Like, winner gets in, the loser season is pretty much over, because, I mean, trying to get in the NCAA regional without making the tournament would have been tough for both those teams.
So it did come down to the last game, and not only did it come down to the last game, it was a one-run game going into the eighth. Is that right?
No, it was a one-run game. Tennessee was up one going into the bottom of the sixth. Mizzou tied it there, and then it was tied going into the bottom of the seventh, and that's when Mizzou put up six runs.
What was that inning? What happened in that inning?
So Zach Hanna led off with a home run, and the wind at Mizzou Arena Taylor Stadium. I've been thinking about basketball a little bit too much. The wind at Taylor Stadium was kind of crazy the whole day
just like every single day at Taylor Stadium.
Yeah, but it was like really bad because it had just rained before the game. So the wind was pushing out left field hard. So you saw in the first inning there were two solo homers to left field, and you were like, oh, ball's just going to fly that way. Zach Hanna hit a shot to left center, it was almost dead center, but it was left center field so hard that if I had gotten out of my seat to check, that ball was probably on the practice football field. He killed that ball. So he led off there. I think it was a couple walks later. Can't remember the top of my head. Somebody had a two RBI double. And then a couple batters later, I think it was the next batter, or maybe somewhere in there, Trey Harris had a three-run home run. And it was just like, wow, this is over. I mean, it was over when the two RBI double came, but when Trey Harris hit the home run and did his plate stump, it was a wrap. There was no coming back. Because the way all offenses were playing, neither of them hit well all week, and especially with runners in scoring position. If one of those teams got a big inning, it was over. Nobody was catching up.
And you mentioned earlier today, your rough estimate was that both teams probably combined to go 7 for 70.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like before that inning. That's what it seemed like, because they were bad. Like, the first game was absolutely terrible with runners in scoring position, because Tennessee had a runner in scoring position on the 11th. In the top of the 11th, they had a runner on second or third with no outs, and they just didn't move him. Literally didn't move him over. He just stood there the whole inning. And it was just that's how it was for the whole series for both teams. It was just, oh man, it was bad. It was really tough to watch because it was, I mean, it's not good pitching. Like, I thought Saturday was the best pitching matchup. I can't think of names, man. Plasmeyer and Hundley for Tennessee pitched tremendously. But, I mean, just it was just no hitting at all until that seventh inning when Mizzou exploded and then there was no more hitting.
So now Mizzou will play in the SEC tournament. By winning, they qualified for the 12-team SEC tournament, and their first game will be at 8 p.m. on Tuesday in Hoover, Alabama. If they win that, they will play at Arkansas, which is the number 4 seed in the tournament. And then it's single elimination for the first round. So Mizzou has to win Tuesday to make it to Wednesday. But once you make it to Wednesday, then it's double elimination until semifinals, I believe. So it's double elimination on Wednesday and Thursday, and then maybe Friday included in that. So Wednesday, yes. Thursday, Friday are all double elimination, and then Saturday is the semifinals, and Sunday is the championship.
Correct, correct. Yeah, that's double elimination is second, third, and quarters. And then semifinals and finals are single.
So Mizzou has a very important game again Tuesday. If they were to win Tuesday, they would do a lot for their NCAA tournament resume. It's an inexact science. They were not really considered in the field when the weekend started. Not in the NCAA tournament field. They had work to do to get there. They have a good strength of schedule, pretty good RPI, but just their conference record was really holding them back. And if they were to make the SEC tournament, which is not, you know, obviously a given going into the weekend, if they were to do that and then maybe win two games at the SEC tournament, that would look pretty good.
Right, yeah. I think they still do have a little bit of work to do. I think they have to get towards that second or third round. Pull out a game in that double elimination and then see where you go from there.
But at any rate, that was the last baseball that will be played at Taylor Stadium this year. They'll play at the SEC tournament, and then if they make it to the NCAA tournament, they'll play in the regional hosted elsewhere. So that's it for baseball being played in Columbia this year. Softball finished up in Columbia 2 weeks ago. I guess, was that a full week ago?
Before.
In the SEC tournament, eight days ago?
They didn't play in it.
Well, there was softball
in town. Yeah.
Mizzou's last softball game was against Florida in the regular season finale. Then the SEC tournament was held at the Mizzou softball stadium. Mizzou did make the NCAA tournament, despite being the only team to not make the SEC tournament.
Right.
Lost their first game to Tulsa, got run-ruled in five innings, and then came back to win two games and basically be the second-to-last team standing in their regional. They beat Boston in their second game, and then they came back and beat Tulsa again in their third game to eliminate both those teams, but ultimately lost to Oklahoma 7-0 yesterday.
Right.
And every seeded team in the softball tournament, so all 16 teams that hosted a regional, all won their regionals. So now you have the top 16 teams in the country essentially playing in super regionals, which is kind of cool for the tournament, but not good for teams like Mizzou that were trying to upset and advance.
And Oklahoma is such a power. It's really tough. I mean, they're one of the probably three or four best teams in the country. It's kind of interesting, though.
Back-to-back national champions.
Yeah. So it is interesting, though, that they did pitch Paige Lowry against Mizzou. She did pitch. She pitched 2 2/3, 2 hits, 1 strikeout. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
this is probably kind of a cool storyline.
Probably cooler for Paige Lowry than for Mizzou.
Yeah, at that moment. Yeah.
Parker Conrad also was a former Mizzou player that plays for Oklahoma now. Yeah. Another pitcher that is kind of at the back end of the rotation for Oklahoma. Yeah. Really just an innings eater with their staff. But Paige Lowry got the appearance against Mizzou, and Oklahoma ultimately won. And so now their streak of continuing national championships is alive for now.
Yeah. But I guess it's interesting now. Somebody asked this question when we went to softball availability before the NCAA regional, which is like, what would be a successful season for them, or successful NCAA regional for them? Obviously, I mean, you don't make the SEC tournament, you go into the regional, and you're the 2 seed. You expect to be playing in that final game as a 2nd seed in that region. But I mean, I feel like, I don't know, is that a success? I don't know. I don't think that's what many people expected going in. Is that winning 2 games and losing to one of the best teams in the country necessarily a successful season or a successful end to a season for them?
When the news broke that Aaron Earlywine wasn't coming back, and that was 13 days before the season or something crazy like that. It didn't really seem like a possibility in my mind that they would be a team that would be able to do that, considering all that they've lost just in terms of actual talent on the field over the last few years, and then losing the coach, the face of the program, the personality of the program, the driving force of the program right before the season started, to where there wasn't even enough time to find a replacement or look for a replacement. It was just, okay, Gina Fogue, you're in charge now.
Right, right.
I thought that that would have been, I thought this season would have gone worse for them than it did.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe they were a little fortunate to make the NCAA tournament. Their RPI was outstanding, and they, by playing in the SEC, you know, that gave them a big benefit. But where would their season have been if they would have played Wichita State two games instead of scheduling four games against Arkansas Pine Bluff?
Right, right.
I don't know. They had to play those games in order to get to 500 and make the tournament. So, I mean, Mizzou didn't win a regional game last year. And for, you know, Aaron Earlywine is the, you know, by a record standpoint, the most successful coach in the history of Missouri. And a lot of people would say, you know, he was even bigger than that. His personality, the way he coached, endeared himself to a lot of people.
Right.
But for all the good things that he did for Mizzou softball, the fact that their roster is where it is now, a lot of those changes happened under his watch and because of the way he ran the program. For all the success that he had at the, you know, in the late 2000s and the early 2010s or whatever, throughout, you know, 2010 through 2015, the roster is the way it is now because of the players that transferred out while he was the coach.
Right, right.
And in his last year, the team that he created and the program that he was overseeing wasn't good enough to win a game at regionals. So you could say that they have built on whatever it was they had at the beginning of the season.
Right, right.
And I think it makes a pretty good case for Gina Fogue at the end. I don't know how much that changed Jim Stirk's mind. It didn't really seem like a situation where she would be coming back. At the end of the year, just kind of based on the way the season was going, based on some of the, some of the other stuff going on, it didn't really feel like Gina Fogue was going to be the top option for Mizzou, and maybe she still isn't. But, you know, that's a program with a lot of history and a lot of success and a brand new stadium, and they could probably get a lot of softball coaches around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Especially in that conference.
Exactly. I don't know if Gina Fogue would be at the top of the list, but I think she really helped her case by taking Mizzou to a regional, winning a couple games, and ultimately, you know, being the second team standing.
Yeah, in that region.
In that regional.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think when you miss SEC tournament, it's obviously a black eye to the season, because I mean, especially when you host it, you expect to be there. But I mean, you're talking about going into an NCAA regional, and to one, I mean, it looked bad, really bad, when they got run ruled by Tulsa. I was like, they might not beat Boston. They might just go 2-0.
My thought going into that regional was that they were probably the worst team in it.
I thought so too, and I thought them winning one game might be good, but to get run ruled and then come back and win two, and beat the team that just run ruled you the day before, I think that's pretty impressive for that team. I mean, when you're talking about like overcoming some type of adversity, that this is a really, really young team. Young teams don't do that. I mean, it's just mentality. Like if you get run ruled, you're like, man, now we got to go out here and play them again. It's just like, you're just like, I just don't want to get run ruled this time. For them to come back and put that out of their heads and pick up two wins, I think that's a pretty successful end to the season. Now, they're up and down throughout the season. I don't think you can ever overshadow the fact that they didn't make the SEC tournament when they hosted it. I think that's definitely something you have to talk about. But I think, like you said, with everything that went on this year, losing a head coach 13 days before the season, dealing with all that inside the program, which I'm sure was tough, that many of us would probably never know about, I think Gina did a pretty good job kind of getting all the stuff together. And then to win two games inside of the regional, I think it caps it off, where they have something to build on for the future. Like, you have girls who have been through a regional. They've pitched, they've hit, they've won regional games. And a lot of these girls are freshmen and sophomores. So you have a good foundation going forward. It's just who is going to be the head coach to take them there.
And the softball program, has been good enough, has developed enough of a following, and has enough invested into it that sort of season, I don't think, is going to be acceptable for multiple seasons in a row.
Right.
Mizzou, like, softball fans Mizzou softball fans are a very passionate bunch. Yes. There are some out there that really love Mizzou softball, and probably some that haven't been as passionate without Aaron Earlywine there. But I think the people who are interested in Mizzou softball aren't going to be that interested in it if Mizzou's a barely qualified for a regional kind of program. And good point brought up during the SEC tournament. That stadium was built to host regionals.
You
can host the SEC tournament once every 13 years. Yeah. That's just built into the rotation.
Right.
But that stadium was built to host regionals in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
So not hosting, like not making the tournament, totally unacceptable. Yeah, yeah. Not hosting a regional, I think you still have room to grow. I think Mizzou's still going to be looking to get more out of their softball program than that.
Right.
So,
and I don't think hosting NCAA regional was ever something that Jim Sterk was like, we need to do that this year.
Not by firing your coach 2 weeks before the season started. So from a 20,000 foot view, you look back on the season and think it was a bad year for Mizzou. It was a transition year, and they built on it. Considering all that happened and the players that are in that program and had to play through this year, I think they did better than I reasonably expected them to at the beginning of the year. And then a few years, I think you'll look back and think, depending on how Mizzou does under their new coach or under Gina on a permanent basis going forward, you'll look back and think that this year was obviously a valley for that program.
I agree.
Now that we're done with the stick and ball sports, there are some other sports kind of going on right now. Basketball is the main.
Yeah.
Playoffs are going on.
Oh.
How fun has that been?
Playoffs.
This time last year, I feel like you would have been approaching the NBA playoffs a lot differently as a Cavaliers fan.
You don't know my life.
Did you not?
I don't remember.
You blacked it out?
I don't know what you're talking about. What are we talking about? Playoffs. No. 100%.
The cause as a rebellious non-Warriors fan, the cause has never looked worse than right now.
I hate that. Hate's a strong word. I hate the Warriors.
Reconsider. Like, yep, I meant it.
They're fun to, like, if you're a basketball fan, like, it's fun to watch them play basketball. I enjoy it. I love watching Kevin Durant play basketball. He's really fun to watch. As a Cavs fan, I root against them so hard. I just can't do it. I'm very hard, like intensely rooting for the Rockets to somehow make up for the 41-point loss they just had and win the series. But I know it's not happening, and the Warriors are going to win, and then they're going to probably beat the Cavs or the Celtics in 5 games.
The fact that the Rockets are the best chance to beat them and lost by 41 yesterday,
it's pretty awful. It says something about one of the greatest teams we've ever seen. And it's annoying.
And you're trying to take them down.
Yeah, I'm sick of them. Someone needs to beat them. I'm sick. I don't want to see them smiling anymore.
I think they're kind of coming around on me again. They're so much more fun to watch than all the other teams that are left in it.
False. The Celtics are so much fun to watch when they're not playing the Cavs. I love watching the Celtics play. Brad Stevens is a tremendous coach. Jason Tatum is a stud. Jaylen Brown, when he has a chance to kind of play free, he's fun to watch. They are so much fun to watch.
Point taken. You said 30 seconds ago the Warriors are one of the best teams you've ever seen.
They are.
They have one of the best shooting percent. I mean, just the way that they shoot, the way that they get everybody involved.
100%.
They play the basketball at its ideal.
I completely agree.
When I said they're fun to watch, you looked at me
you said they're the most fun team to watch.
They are the most fun team to watch.
I enjoy watching the Celtics play more. Okay. That's an unbiased opinion.
False. So not true. Just not even close to the truth.
Oh, man.
But speaking of basketball, Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reported today that Jontay Porter is now leaning towards staying in school, which goes against the reports from a month ago that he was leaning towards going to the draft.
Draft, yeah.
And that kind of reminds me at least of last summer, about this time a year ago, when Jontay was leaning towards staying in high school and then ultimately leaning towards going to Mizzou. Nobody really knew where he stood. Anytime you talk to him about it, he was kind of riding the fence. I mean, that's just kind of just how Jontay is, I guess. You know, he's just going to wait until he has to make a decision, which is fine. I guess it doesn't. It's not a big deal. It doesn't make me upset.
Right.
He has a deadline. He doesn't have to make his decision until the end of the month.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, to be fair, that's the biggest decision of his life. And then when he was deciding about Mizzou or going back to high school, it was the biggest decision of his life then. To be fair, I sometimes can't decide what I'm going to have for dinner.
I wait until 9 o'clock
exactly.
to make a decision.
I'm like, do I want to go get food down the street or actually cook something?
And by 9 o'clock, it's not fun to make that decision to stay in.
Exactly. So I can't even imagine to put my feet where Jonte's at. But, like, I don't know. And it's not like his scholarship is going anywhere. He has a scholarship and he comes back. It's just really weird that the varying reports that we've gotten over the last month and a half of what's been going on. But, I mean, you look at some of the numbers from Jonte. Jonte had a fairly good combine. The thing that sticks out to me is just like his body fat percentage. Jonte's not a very athletic person, but he has 13.85% body fat is what came in at the combine.
Is that bad?
Well, you're looking at everybody else and they're like...
Sounds pretty good to me.
There's only a few other people who are in double digits on this combine list from the NBA stats. Chris Spellman is 13.8. Amari Spellman. I don't know. Who's Chris Spellman? I don't know. I feel like I know that name. I don't know why that just came to my name. 13.75 body fat. There's someone else who had 12. Isaac Haas from Purdue, 12.55% body fat. And then Jalen Barford. That's the Arkansas kid, isn't it? Yeah, 11.65% body fat. But, like, that's it. Everyone else is under double digits. So, I mean, Grayson Allen, one of the best players in the draft, he's probably not going to go in a lottery. 5.5% body fat. That's not bias either.
So Cam's bias is just spilling all over the podcast.
So I don't know, and that's not a huge deal because Jonte's just his game isn't based on being athletic. His game is based on really just being a very smart, high IQ four that can space the floor and do a lot of different things. But I don't know. I think Jonte could go and be fine. It just depends. Like you said, it's going to come down to whether he thinks he's a for sure first round pick. If he's borderline, he's probably going to come back. That just depends on what the teams tell him after the combine.
I took it upon myself to search Chris Spellman to find out who you were really thinking of.
Yeah, who am I thinking of?
And I think I found somebody. His name popped up on IMDb.
Oh.
Chris Spellman began working on film soon after his graduation from LSU and his move to Los Angeles. He's a production designer who has been part of some of the most popular comedies of our day. He has also been a set decorator on many well-received films and cult classics. He has worked with numerous creative and talented filmmakers on many different film projects. His film career and his credits are impressive.
Can you say what his work captures
his eye for detail and his feel for the authenticity of the worlds in which he helps to create on film. Known for Superbad, production designer, being the production designer for Pineapple Express, the set decorator for The Big Lebowski.
Oh, Forrest Gump's in here, too. I Googled it, too. You're taking too long.
So that was who you were thinking of,
sure.
Obviously. The set director for The Big Lebowski and the production designer for Superbad, Chris Spellman.
Yeah, I can't. I imagine he's not going to the combine and having one of the lowest, I mean, not to be rude,
careful what you say about set directors of our time.
These are like professional athletes. Come on.
Hey, man.
I feel like if I went to the combine, I'd have a 25%
hauling body fat. Around all those props and directing people around with those props, that burns fat.
Chris Spellman, man. We just give you a shout out on the podcast. You should shoot us some money as a sponsor.
That'd be great, yeah. Chris Spellman. If you ever want to advertise one of your films on our podcast, we would be happy
to have you.
Have you do that.
Yeah. But yeah, back to Jonte and not Chris Spellman.
Oh, are we still talking about Jonte?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but like, if he comes back, I think he gives Mizzou. I mean, we've been talking on this podcast before about like, if Jonte's gone, this team is in a transition year. I don't know if. Does that end that whole idea of like this is a transition year if Jonte comes back?
I think so. And maybe not in reality, but in terms of the people that care about the basketball team, Jonte Porter is like the lead item of conversation when it comes to Mizzou sports, at least in my experience.
Yeah.
Whenever people want to talk to me about Mizzou sports, they want to know,
where's Jonte going?
Is Jonte coming back?
Yeah.
That's been the question for 4 months since basketball season ended.
Yeah, yeah.
Once Michael committed, which, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of debate amongst reasonably educated people there, then, you know, it's like, okay, what's Jonte going to do? And that's been the question for since the season ended.
Since he was technically a senior, I put senior in air quotes, senior in high school.
Yeah. And that's what everybody's going to want to know about. And if he comes back, then that's going to be the story of the summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, the story going into next year, and people will assume, I think the general public will assume that if Jonte comes back, then they will have a team that could even improve on what it did last year.
Right. I think you're looking at a team that's probably in the top half of the SEC, just off the top of my head. I mean, Texas A&M is going to be totally just, they lost everybody. Tyler Davis is gone. What's the other guy? No, not Ty Davis is gone.
Robert Williams?
Yeah, I was going to say Robert Williams is gone, but the other guy, DJ Hogg, is gone. He's going pro. So, like, I mean, you're losing their three, but they're legitimate three core players. I mean, their size, that's what they were known for, being very, very long, very athletic. I mean, Mizzou's probably got two of the best post players in the SEC back if Jonte comes back. And then you're looking at really a perimeter where you could do some different versatile things where you're still looking for some scores, but having Jonte and Jeremiah there helps you kind of ease into that transition. I'd agree. I don't think it would be a complete transfer year or transition year. Why do you think of transfer?
Well, I think by transition year, the context we use that term in would be transitioning from a year in which there were really high expectations to a year where there were kind of lower expectations and building a program that would have some three and four year guys in 2019, 2020, 2021.
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of have a gap in 2018 and 2019,
where
you have younger guys, you have guys that are sitting out a year due to transfers. If Jonte comes back, it puts a different kind of context on what that year is going to be Mizzou fans,
where
they want to make the most out of what they can for that year without looking to the future so much.
Right. And I think you got a team who's going to be who would be very, very competitive in the SEC. So it'd be interesting. That's something that now he has until, like you said, May 30th to make his decision. I imagine he waits until May 30th to make his decision. I don't think you're going to see a decision on May 22nd. When your kid's going through this stuff, you usually want to take your time. Unless you know for sure right now that you're going to be a first round draft pick, I imagine he's going to wait until the last minute. He did the same thing when he decided to go to Mizzou.
Right
up to like July.
It wasn't necessarily the last minute, but it was later than a lot of people expected initially.
So, it'd be interesting. That'd definitely be the biggest topic of the conversation when Mizzou sports is being talked about in June and July, which we will continue podcasting June and July through our different various vacations.
And possibly with more stunts that will gross Cameron and I and some of our listeners out.
Yeah, that you guys seem to enjoy. Hopefully just Danny, because I'm done losing.
Hopefully not me. That stupid jelly bean challenge was one of the worst things that has ever happened to me on a public setting.
Yeah.
Barry Odom was at a Cardinals game this week.
Yeah. While you were gone, he had a t-shirt that said this shirt called Lou to the Zoo. It's like the recruiting pitch to get St. Louis kids to come to Mizzou just for that area. But I mean, I don't know if it worked, but it's a sweet design.
They should have come up with that t-shirt last year.
Yeah,
they had like eight guys from St. Louis five schools.
Have you seen the t-shirt?
I have not.
I'm going to show it to you real quick. But it's like a black t-shirt, and it has like, I believe that's it's the arch, St. Louis skyline in the background with the arch. And on it just says, Lou to the Zoo. It's a pretty, it's a pretty, like, sweet.
You came in hot to the microphone to deliver that take.
Yeah, I apologize.
It's a cool t-shirt.
But yeah, it's a sweet t-shirt. Like Nike, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Yeah, I'd wear that. And especially if I was a St. Louis athlete and my name was Lou.
That's what Mizzou really needs to go after, the Lou population.
Yeah,
L-O-U.
If you live in
Louis, Louis.
Anything.
We need you desperately Mizzou. So these
be
t-shirts.
A good football athlete and get off from Mizzou. And
even if you're not that good.
Right.
We have all these t-shirts.
I'd just be like, hey, can I have
to sell them?
All these t-shirts with my name on them? I'd take them in a heartbeat.
So wear them every day.
Yep. Come on, Conso. Give me a cam to the Zoo. That doesn't work well.
Unless
they're like recruiting people from like Cambodia or Cameroon.
Cameroon.
Come on, I need some Mizzou basketball athletes from Cameroon.
Next time you talk to Coach Martin, I think you should look into the Cameroon recruiting
and start
database.
Naming people off. Kaza, what about this guy? What about this guy? But, okay.
Maybe we'll talk about that at our next podcast. Yep. Cameroon recruiting scene for college basketball.
I'll do my research. Really quickly, before we get out of here, I do want to do, we used to do this on the podcast a while ago. Some of our new listeners may not remember this, but it is our recommendations of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Our recommendation of the week that we haven't done since
February. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to give one
February
because Danny's going to enjoy it. So I just recently came into some AirPods.
Oh, of course you brought this up.
They are incredible.
Best How good are they?
Incredible.
Are they better than your regular standard Apple headphones?
Well, yeah,
Apple
I can
headphones?
Listen. I Bluetooth it to anything. I can listen to, I can go, like yesterday, I went to, came down here, came into the Trib basketball gym to work out, and I had my headphones on and just listened to music through my watch. I didn't have to have my phone in my pocket while it's bouncing around and falling out while I brick jump shots off the rim.
I have a Bluetooth speaker that I got from Marshalls that was $30
and
that I do
is,
that for.
And if someone else is down there, you can't blare your music because they don't like the type of music you like.
I have a pair of Bluetooth over-the-ear headphones.
Over-the-ear headphones, and that gets hot and sweaty.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I got all your arguments.
I'm glad you like your AirPods,
Thank
Cam.
You, Danny, I appreciate
That's
it.
Really all that matters, which is why I don't understand why you keep trying to jam them down my throat.
I wasn't. I just wanted people to know that I enjoy them. Like I said, I was recommending them to our podcast listeners.
Okay.
You just got defensive. That's all it was.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I did get a little defensive.
Just want to recommend it to our podcast listeners.
Okay.
Just want you guys to have the best technology you can have.
My recommendation, the last place I was on vacation was in Wisconsin. I just got back earlier this morning, but I was in Wisconsin last week. It was great. It was a great time. Went camping for 4 days, saw beaches, saw Lake Michigan. The weather, the hottest it got up there while I was there with my girlfriend, the hottest it was while we were there was 68 degrees.
Solid.
That was the high for 4 days. The nights were obviously kind of chilly, but the weather was good during the day. The worst thing about it, though, was there were these mayflies that were everywhere.
I've heard of those. Never heard of those up there.
It was not cool.
Yeah.
Every time you got anywhere near the lake, they would just
swarm you. Yeah, I heard that.
Other than that, though, it was a pretty good time, and the weather was great, so might have to look into making a return trip in June when it's, like, really, really hot, and it's only going to be, like, 75 degrees up there.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, except...
My recommendation.
That's sweet. Sweet. Also, a recommendation, if you haven't listened, go listen to Katie Nolan's podcast, Sports with a Question Mark. That's a recommendation. Also, if Katie Nolan hears this, hop on our podcast.
That'd be great.
Just saying.
That would be great.
Any of you guys know, any of you know Katie Nolan? Ask her to come on our podcast. She can do the wager.
Okay.
Hey, Katie Nolan, we got you.
We got some jelly beans in the closet that have yet to be eaten.
Danny won't eat them all.
I won't.
Just, I
shan't.
For some reason, doesn't want to eat them.
What do you think it would taste like if you ate every jelly bean in that box at the same time?
Throw up, because I'd throw up, probably.
Instant vomit.
Instant puke. Just throwing them all, just instant vomit.
Okay, that's all we have for today.
Okay, appreciate you guys listening. Subscribe on Apple or find us anywhere you get your podcast from. I don't know if we're on SoundCloud, but are we on SoundCloud? I don't know. Just find us somewhere. We'll tweet it out. Just go to Apple, our website. It's a link to all our stories. Read the story before you listen to the podcast, or listen to the podcast while you read the story. Or also, don't do that. Maybe if you're driving, don't read the story. Just listen to the podcast and then read the stories and tell us if you like them or not. Leave a comment, review. We're always like the feedback. Danny's laughing really hard, so we're going to outro this. Danny, you can stop laughing. You can cue the outro music.
Be sure and subscribe to Mizzou's Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.